this glorious morning as we come together to fellowship with you. We are grateful for the privilege to wait upon you in this service this morning and to renew our strength in your glorious presence. We know that you are still the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And so we are thanking you ahead of time for every reward you have prepared for us in this service this morning. Help us to have the faith to receive them all, that we may possess every possession that you have set aside for us, even in this service today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us out of the holy written word and enlightening the eyes of our understanding, that we may understand clearly what the Father wants us to see this morning as we approach his word. Thank you for helping me to rightly divide the word of truth. Speak through me, Lord, and help every one of us to have ears to hear what you are saying to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We are so grateful, and we give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we are going to read together from the very first verse right through to verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Let's go. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. We are going to look very closely at verses 4 and 5 out of this passage of Scripture. But if we see it in the context in which it is written, right from the very first verse, we see that Paul is writing to the church, generally speaking, by the Holy Spirit. Even though at that point in time, the epistle was written directly to the church at Corinth, but his intention in writing it to them then was that the whole church may benefit from it. We can see that very clearly in what he himself said, verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ. So that will include you and I today. That will include those of us that are gathered in this service this morning. So we can then give due attention to what Paul wrote by the Holy Spirit several hundreds of years ago, and see it as God speaking to us today. Now, verse 3 says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Please underline that in your Bible. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we have to understand clearly that what Jesus Christ brought for us and what makes the difference in our lives as God's people is the grace of God Himself. Apart from that grace, we are no different from others. Apart from the grace of God, we don't even have any capacity to do better than anyone else. Because come to think of it, every one of us in Adam, we fell. In Adam, we were all corrupted and we fell short, Bible says, of the glory of God. And if we are going to do anything right today, it will have to be by the grace of God. Because man in himself has no capacity to do good apart from God helping us. We just have to understand that. Thank God Jesus came. Thank God He brought us grace. Thank God that by His grace we can do all things now. By the grace of God we can have sufficiency in all areas of life. By the grace of God we can stand up in boldness and say, I am as I should be perfect by what God Himself has done for me in His Son. Now look at verse 5 very, very closely. That in everything you are enriched by Him. Please underline that also. In everything you are enriched by Him. You are enriched by God in Christ Jesus. In everything, not in some things. In all areas of life, you don't really lack anything. If you understand how to hook up with the grace of God, even where you are weak, your weakness can be turned into strength if you learn how to hook up with the grace of God. That's what the Bible is saying here. So we are enriched by God in Christ Jesus in everything. Why? Because the grace of God has come to us through Jesus Christ. And through the grace of God and by the grace of God, we can have sufficiency in all areas of life. So we don't lack anything really. When grace is in operation in our lives, the very sufficiency of God Himself becomes our portion of inheritance. Please put your finger or something to mark your Bible right there and turn with me because we are coming back to that particular verse. But turn with me quickly to 2 Corinthians, just a few pages forward in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You see, it's all about the grace of God. And for us as Christians, we have to understand what the grace of God is and how to access it on a daily basis so that we can enjoy the riches that God has brought for us to enjoy in Christ Jesus every single day of our lives. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we all know the background here. Paul had received so much revelation from God, and in order for him not to become too puffed up because of the revelation he had received from God, Bible says a thorn in the flesh was given to him, a messenger of Satan, to buffet him. And obviously he began to cry to God in prayer that that messenger of Satan and the buffeting that he was bringing against him should cease. But then God showed him the way to have the victory over that messenger of Satan in all that he was doing against Paul. Now look at what God revealed to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, or better still, let me pick it from verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. I don't know about you, that's exactly the same prayer I would have prayed in that situation. None of us likes any discomfort. When we are going through difficulties, the first thought in our mind is how to get rid of this problem. Because thinking with our human reasoning, we believe that the best way to get rid of a problem is just to cut it off from you. That's all. I mean, anyone you talk to will tell you, well, if you want to get rid of a problem, the best way is just cut it off. Once it is cut off, then you are free. But God was about to show Paul a better way, the way of God that is higher than man. So God said to him, well, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, the solution to your problem is not that you may be free from the problem, so to say, in terms of not having it, but that you may actually learn to access the strength of God to overcome that problem, so that at the end of the day, the problem is no longer a problem unto you. You see, that is why you and I can go through all kinds of trouble in this world without being troubled by any of them. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, in the world you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And in the same gospel of John chapter 14, verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, you have trouble in the world, but the trouble does not have to trouble your heart. You can live victoriously over every trouble that comes your way. So God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Key word there is the word sufficient. When something is sufficient, that means actually you don't need any other thing. You are fully supplied. You are fully equipped. And you have what it takes in that situation to have the victory. So we see that God was showing Paul that the grace that Jesus brought for us as Christians is the key to overcoming even what the enemy was doing against him. So we can say in that light that by the grace of God, Paul was more than able to defeat the enemy's plans. And I want to submit to you this morning, no matter what the enemy has brought against you in any area of your life, the grace of God is available for you to have the victory also. God is no respecter of persons. He brought grace for everyone that would have faith in him. And we don't need to struggle on our own. That's what God is trying to get us to see as Christians. Jesus has done all the works for us. We are to come now and enjoy the fruit of what Jesus has done. Now, let us also turn quickly to Romans chapter 11. You see, when we talk about grace, we have to understand one thing. Grace is what God gives to us as a free gift. It is the favor of God reaching out to us without us actually deserving it or earning it. We have not worked for it. We didn't do anything to merit the grace of God. But God gives it to us because of his love for us, which he demonstrated in sending Jesus Christ, his son, to die for us on the cross of Calvary. And the grace of God, in addition to being his favor, is also his strength, as we just saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. The grace of God is also the strength of God to help us to do what we can't do on our own. Now, in Romans chapter 11, the Bible teaches us very clearly how grace is different from our own human effort. So, for you as a Christian, no matter what your challenges may be, don't see yourself as the one that will have to struggle in order to overcome those challenges. See yourself as someone positioned in Christ who has already given you the victory, and all you need is to access his grace in that situation, and you'll find the victory that belongs to you right there by the grace of God. Now, in Romans chapter 11, let us look closely at verse 6. It says, and if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Now, notice what Bible is saying here. When we are talking about grace, we cannot talk about our own human effort. That's what he's saying. It has nothing to do with our own human ability. It has everything to do with God. God showing his favor toward us through his son, Jesus Christ. So again, it says, if it is by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So work and grace don't go together. If you want the grace of God, you have to cease from your own human effort. And you have to hook up with what Jesus did for you. And you know, this is what makes us as Christians to be a people that should actually humble ourselves at all times under the hand of God, because we realize there is nothing we can do of our own human strength. It is all about Jesus. So there is no room for boasting. Say to your neighbor, no room for boasting. As a Christian, the grace of God is the key to our victory in all areas of life. Amen. And that will also bring encouragement to us all. Because if I know that it is not by my human works or human effort that I'm going to have victory in any situation, I'll be able to stand up with boldness and expect victory in every challenge of life. Because if it were dependent on me, I will assess myself, I'll look at the things I lack, and I'll conclude I'm not able to do that. Oh, because I don't have this, so I'm not able to do that. Oh, because I don't have this skill, I'm not able to do that. Oh, because I lack this provision, I'm not able to do that. But when it comes to the grace of God, there is always God's own sufficiency for us. So that where we lack ability, God's own ability is made manifest to help us. Just as God said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Because in your own human weakness, my strength is made perfect. So Paul, cease from your own works. Cease from your own effort. So that my grace can take over and give you the victory in this situation. That's the way to see it. And from that point onwards, Paul caught a revelation of what the grace of God was all about. And you would discover when you read the epistles that there is no epistle that Paul wrote that he didn't mention grace. In most cases, he will begin his letter by praying grace upon the church. And he will end the letter by praying grace upon the church. Why? Because suddenly the revelation of grace came to him and he realized it's all by the grace of God. In another place, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. This was Paul that understood what works meant, because he was a Pharisee. He was very religious, studied under Gamaliel. And he said in Philippians chapter 3 that if any man had any reason to boast, he had more than anybody else. A Pharisee of Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, concerning the law, blameless. But then when he came to Christ, and he understood grace, he said, all the things that I counted as something before, now I count them as dung, so that I may win Christ. It's all about Jesus. And for us as Christians, the moment we take our eyes off of Jesus, we lose focus, number one, and we lose the strength of God to help us in our need. It's all about Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, Bible says, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So when we talk about grace, we should forget about what we can do as humans. We should depend absolutely on Jesus Christ. That's one thing we all have to remember. Not by our own works, not by our own human effort, but by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And so, verse 5 says that in everything you are enriched by Him. So grace has brought the riches of God to us in Christ Jesus. So say to your neighbor, you are the richest person here on earth. You have everything because of the grace of God. Amen. So don't let the devil deceive you. The devil will tell you, well, how can you call yourself rich? How much do you have in your bank account? Just tell him, devil, I have everything. Because God says so. Hallelujah. You see, one thing we have to understand is this, as we shall see clearly. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. God has already done everything for us and put everything in the package called grace. And for us to have access to that grace, we need faith. And faith has to do with believing what God says and acting upon it. We don't lean on our own human understanding. Where we've been missing it is in the area of our human understanding. So when the devil comes and says, well, you say you are rich. Show me what you have. And then you listen to him. And he tells you, can't you see your bank account is almost empty? How then can you say you are rich? And then we believe him. So we are not in faith. We cannot access the grace of God to enrich us in that area of need. You see how these things work? It's exactly the same thing he did unto Gideon. You see, the devil is very smart. It's the same old serpent, not a new one. And we just have to study the scriptures and understand how it works. It's the same one that went in the Garden of Eden and said to the woman, Eve, as God said. In other words, challenging the word of God, trying to get her to think in a way that is different from how God said. And it succeeded. And so man lost the garden, the place of blessing. And so it came to Gideon in Judges. You can read the account again in the book of Judges. And he said, when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and said, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. The first thing Gideon said is, how can you call me a mighty man of valor? I'm not mighty. I'm from the least tribe in Manasseh. And also, if God is really on our side, how come we are so poor? Look at the Midianites. They have besieged us for so long. And we're all poor in the land. Even this wheat that I'm threshing, I'm hiding it from them. Because if they see, they are going to take it away from me. Where are all the miracles that God promised our fathers? If God is really for us, how come we are like this? How come we are like that? Reasoning with the mind. But the angel said, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. But he is saying, no, I'm not mighty. Well, who is lying? Is it God or man? We know God can never lie. So in every situation when we lean on our human understanding, we miss out on God. But thank God, God was very patient with Gideon because he wanted to deliver his people from the Midianites. So he was very patient with Gideon and eventually was able to get Gideon to see things from his own perspective and go ahead and carry out God's plans for the deliverance of his people. Now, what are we saying? The devil will always try to get us to reason with our human mind so that we can look at ourselves and assess our situation based on our own human understanding. And every time we do that, we'll be discouraged because we just can't see a way out of our difficulties. We can't see a way out of our hardships in many instances in life. But when we all look to God and we understand what grace has already done, we realize that God has actually already given me the victory in this particular situation. All I need is to access the grace of God and walk in that victory. We can put it this way. You see, grace is like someone has already opened a bank account for you. And then in that bank account, that person has deposited all the money you will ever need in all areas of your need all the days of your life. Even if you wanted to buy a £1 billion property, the money is already there. If you wanted to buy anything at any price, the money is already there. In other words, the deposit that person made in your account is inexhaustible. Now, you have the money in that account. You didn't work for it. Somebody, now let's bring it home, Jesus, put everything in that account for you. And he said, well, when you need it, it's already there. Already there before you have the need, the provision is already there. Now, for you to access that provision, you have to know how to draw from that account. Because the money is there, but you have to draw it out of the account in order to use it. If you don't know how to draw money out of your account, you can't use the money that belongs to you. So we have to know how to access the grace of God. Jesus has already deposited grace in our account for us that will be sufficient for us in all areas of need all our days. But if we don't know how to draw from that account, we'll be suffering lack when we should actually be having plenty. That is the truth about us all. Put your finger right there again in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn with me a few pages forward to Ephesians in your Bible, chapter 1. You see, what I've just said, I just want to back it up with scripture. God has already deposited everything you ever need all the days of your life in Christ Jesus, and it's in that package called grace. Jesus brought us grace, you see. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 is what we need, but we are going to read it from verse 1 in context. So let's read together from verse 1 down to verse 4. Let's go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. In this short context that we have read, we see Bible telling us very clearly there in verse 3 that God has already blessed us. Not going to. God has already blessed us with all manner of blessings. But those blessings are available in spiritual form. In Christ Jesus, who is seated in heaven right at the right hand side of God the Father. So therefore, the problem is not that we really lack anything. The problem is we don't know how to access the store that God has made for us in Christ Jesus. Many times we fail to walk by faith. And so the blessing is there, hanging there for us in the spirit, and we are here in the physical suffering and complaining and mourning and griping because we are not doing what will help us to access what God has already put in Christ Jesus for us, in that package of grace. Many of us, as Christians, we are relying on ourselves. We are too full of ourselves. We think that we have to do everything in our human strength in order to get the victory that we need, without realizing that God has already given us the victory in Christ Jesus. The blessing is already in place. The provision has already been made, stored up in Christ. And we have to learn to make withdrawal from the account in Christ Jesus. And that is why we need to understand the place of faith. We shall see that clearly later. Without the faith of God, we cannot access His grace. And if we are not accessing the grace of God, we can benefit from what Jesus has already done for us. Because everything Jesus has done for us, we can only receive them by grace. We read that earlier in Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Not by our own works, but by the grace of God. The only work we are to walk now as Christians is the walk of faith. Just have faith in God. Say to your neighbor, the only work you need to walk now is the walk of faith. Not your own human works. Amen. Praise God. So, and verse 4 says, He already did this from the foundation of the world. So whatsoever your need may be here this morning, God provided for that need before He formed you in your mother's womb. Because God knew ahead of time you are going to go through all that you've been through and all that you may be going through right now and all that you may even go through tomorrow. God had foreknowledge of everything, and He provided the solution for you to every challenge in your life. And all the solution is stored up in Christ in the heavenly places in spiritual form. But you need the solution in the physical, so you have to learn how to reach out into the storehouse in Christ Jesus, in the Spirit, and bring the blessings into physical manifestation here on earth where you need it. That's where we are going this morning. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Then we'll look at a few other scriptures. And then we'll summarize by the grace of God. Again, we see Paul always praying grace upon the church, because he caught a revelation of the grace of God that is sufficient for us in Christ Jesus. Verse 5 again says that in everything you are enriched by Him. You see the word again? Enriched. Already done. In everything you are enriched by God in Christ Jesus. So whatsoever area of life you are talking about, God has already provided riches for you in Christ through grace. You don't really lack anything. You have sufficiency in everything because the grace of God is sufficient for you, you see. That in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance, in other words, in speech and in knowledge. So the grace of God will give you sufficiency in knowledge so that you know what to do in every situation. Isn't that wonderful? The grace of God will give you sufficiency in speech so that you know what to say in every situation. You even know, as Bible says, how to speak a word in season to the weary. All by the grace of God. All by the grace of God. And when you are brought before magistrates, you know, Jesus told His disciples ahead of time, He said, when you are, you know, arrayed before judges and magistrates, and they want to, you know, try you for being My followers, He said, don't take any thought ahead of time for what you will say. Because at the same right moment, the Holy Spirit will put in your mouth what you should say. In other words, don't even try to struggle and rack your brain as, what am I going to say when I get there? What am I going to... No, forget it. Just access the grace of God and go there trusting in Jesus. You'll be amazed how the Holy Spirit will put the right word in your mouth to answer every question. And the people listening to you will be amazed. Where did that wisdom come from? When you are going to interview, you better say, God, I ask Your grace. As I go to interview, I depend on You. You will give me the wisdom to answer every question. And You'll give me favor in the sight of those who are interviewing me. Because the grace of God has to do with favor, you see. But you know, What we do most of the time is we just leave grace where it is and we go in our own works. And grace is there, the provision is there, but we try to go and do our own. We work it out on our own. And then we tire ourselves out. And many times we are frustrated at the end of the day. We've forgotten who we are as Christians. Say to your neighbor, as a Christian, you're a privileged person. You are no longer ordinary. You are special. You are God's peculiar possession. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. God has called you to show his praises in all your generation. Amen. And that's the truth about who you are as a Christian. And that is why we all have to understand grace. You know, many of us misunderstand grace. We try to use grace for the wrong things. Or we even mention grace for the wrong things. Oh, the grace of God covers my sin. So I must go on sinning. Well, you need to study again what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. He said, shall we continue to sin because of grace? God forbid. How can we sin if we truly die to sin? In other words, grace is the whole package that Jesus Christ himself brought unto us. It saved us to start with. And that grace is the means by which we are going to access every blessing of God because we are now the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we don't need to turn there. We were saved by grace through faith, not of works, again, not our human effort. And from that day, when Jesus entered into our lives, grace is the means by which we are all living as Christians. And if we don't live by that grace, we cannot enjoy what Jesus has brought for us to enjoy. So say to your neighbor again, it's all by grace. So you must understand how to draw from the grace of God. Amen. So again, in everything, God cannot lie, in everything, you are enriched by him. You are not enriched by yourself. You are not enriched by any man. You are not enriched by government. So stop looking to man and stop looking to yourself. The arm of flesh will fail you. Start looking unto the one that never fails, Jesus Christ. He has already done it for you. You just have to learn how to access the store that he has made available for you in himself as his follower. Okay, so in everything you are enriched by him. So you are rich. I'm looking at very rich people here this morning. There is no poor person in this place this morning. You are very rich in Jesus Christ. Let's turn also quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. See, we just have to understand things from God's perspective and not allow the devil to get us to reason with our human mind and rob us of what belongs to us. It's the same what's happened. He robbed man of the Garden of Eden. If you really understand how that Eden was such a beautiful place, everything was there. And the devil stole it from man. How did he steal it? By getting man to disobey God. So it challenged the word of God in the mind and got man to lean on human understanding rather than depending on God. And it's still the same serpent you and I have to deal with today. He will try to get us not to obey God's word, not to see things from God's perspective, so that we may lose out on the blessings that already belong to us in Christ Jesus. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Let's read that together. I'll encourage you to read it from the first verse when you get home and you see it in the context in which Paul wrote it, because this particular church at this point in time, we're going through some difficulties. If you look at verse 2, they were in great trial of affliction. Yet the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Why? Because they understood the grace of God. They didn't allow things in the natural to hold them down or hold them back. They were able to overcome every challenge that came their way because they looked to the grace of God. And so Paul is encouraging them in that same light. And in verse 9 he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." So who are you as a Christian? A rich person. God cannot lie. If you are in Christ, then you are rich. So stop leaning on your human understanding. When people ask you, "Are you rich?" Don't say, "Oh no, I'm a poor person. I'm just a poor little rat." Hey, you are a child of God. God has not given birth to poor little rats. Or church rats. Has it never amazed you why they always say church rat? You see, again, that's the devil. He wants believers to think that they are like rats, like he got the children of Israel to think that they were like grasshoppers. When God said he had given them the promised land, they said, "We can't take the land because we are like grasshoppers." And truly, they never made it. Because the way you think is the way you become. That's why you have to begin to think like God said you are. Wake up every morning and say, "Praise God, I'm rich." I'm rich! I'm rich in everything. In wisdom, in knowledge, in health, in favor, in blessings, in understanding of every skill that is necessary for me to make success in all my endeavors in life. I'm rich by the grace of God. Put the marker down every day and let the devil tremble. And let heaven rejoice over you because you are speaking the language of heaven. This is the language of heaven that is written down for us. God will never see you from heaven and say you are poor. There is no poor child of God. You are enriched in everything. Every area of your life you are rich because of the grace of God that is sufficient for you in all situations. Begin to think with the mind of Christ. Don't let the devil rob you like he robbed Adam and Eve of the garden. We know the truth in Christ Jesus. We are rich because we don't lean on our human understanding. So if you begin to agree with God on the basis of his word, you will see the word come to pass. That's the way God works. Remember, in Genesis chapter 15, remember how God taught Abraham the way of faith. Because faith is the means by which you access grace. When he was Abram, he had no child. And God brought him out one day and said, "Abram, look up to the sky." God brought him in the night when the stars were out. And said, "Look, can you count the stars that are in heaven?" And God told him, "So shall thy seed be." This is a man that never have one. What was God trying to get him to do? To begin to think the way God has already prepared blessings for him. In other words, don't lean on your understanding. Don't go about saying, "I'm childless." Begin to think that I'm the father of many nations. My name is no longer Abram. My name is Abraham. Because God has made me a father of many nations, and he told me, "My seed shall be as the stars of heaven, uncountable." So imagine what that would do to Abraham. Every day, throughout the course of the day, that image, that vision is in his mind. He is seeing now with the eyes of the spirit. In the physical, nothing to show, but in the spirit, he's seeing himself having many children. In the physical, no evidence of a single child, but in the spirit, he is seeing himself as the father of many children. And in that process, he is agreeing with God with spirit. Instead of agreeing with the devil, messing him up here, making his wife barren here. We have to think the way God says we are in order to agree with God and get the grace of God to bring the plan of God to pass for our lives. There is nothing that grace cannot accomplish for every one of us as Christians. We just have to understand how to access that grace. That's all. So God taught Abraham the way of faith so that he may have the grace of God to bring to pass the plan of God for his life. That's the key. Turn with me also quickly to Romans chapter 4. You see, let us see how Abraham then was able to tap into the grace that made him to become the father of Isaac. You see, when he tried to do it in his human effort, he produced Ishmael. And God rejected that. You see, say again to your neighbor, not of works, only by grace. Amen. If you read any portion of scripture, don't think you can bring it to pass by your human effort. If you try to do that, you mess it up. Just say, Lord, I thank you. I receive it by faith, and I thank you for your grace that performs it for me in Jesus' name. And then you begin to worship God. That's the way to get it. Because when Abraham, after he believed God, okay, I'm going to be father of many nations, but the promise is taking too long to manifest, you see. Say to your neighbor, your faith will be tried. So you need patience. Amen. So Abraham didn't understand that. So when the wife came one day, you know, thank God for women. So the wife came one day and said, you know, honey, remember what God said? You are going to be the father of many nations. It's been many years now. I just want you to know it's too late for me. You can't have anything from me anymore. And as I see you going to, very soon it's going to become too late for you. But before it's too late for you, I have one handmaid. She's still a young woman. Just take her, so that the plan of God doesn't fail for you. And Abraham never asked God. Just said, okay, honey, that's if you say so. And Mother Sarah became the one that joined them together. Bible says what God joins together. God didn't join this one together. It was Mother Sarah. Mother Sarah said, today I pronounce you, Abraham and Hagar, husband and wife. But you know, what she joined together, she was also the one that put us under later. because when that woman began to provoke her, she told her husband, send her away. You see, man joined together, not God. So man put us under. God have mercy. But Romans chapter 4, oh, thank God, thank God, thank God for grace. It's all about grace. We can't stop talking about it. Verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And then you read further down, and you see that God then began to tell us about how Abraham had to get into faith in order to get the grace that brought Isaac to him eventually and made him to realize the fulfillment of God's plans for his life. And God is encouraging us right there that it is the same process for every one of us who are God's people. The same way. The grace of God is available to do for you what no man can do. The grace of God is available to bring blessings your way that you can never get on your own. But in order for grace to work, faith is required. Faith is like the checkbook that you write to draw money from your account, or the bank card that you use to draw money from your account. Everything is stored up in heaven by the grace of God in Christ Jesus for you. And there is no lack in that grace package, because God took care of every area of your life even before you were formed in your mother's womb. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 tells us all things that pertain to life and godliness have already been given to us through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So God has already put everything in the package of grace for your life. But you need faith in order to access it. While we are in Romans there, let's turn to chapter 5. From verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Say to your neighbor, if you are a Christian, you are standing in grace because you are in Christ Jesus, who brought us grace. Amen. You are saved by grace, you see. And now you are standing in grace. So therefore, you must walk in grace. Don't walk in your own works. No. Walk in grace. Because you are in grace, to live in grace, to move in grace, to walk in grace, so that you can appreciate what Jesus has done for you and give the glory to God always. You can't boast about anything. You can't count yourself as the one making anything work for you. In fact, God insistently taught the children of Israel, even in the old covenant, to always acknowledge him as the source of everything. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, he told them ahead of time before they entered into the promised land, he said, hey, beware, beware. So that when you've got into the promised land and everything is going fine for you, you build good houses, your vineyard is yielding abundantly, everything is going fine, don't say the work of my hands has got me all this wealth. No. But you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Because of the covenant that I formed with your father Abraham, as it is today. It's an everlasting covenant. And do you know what? Bible teaches us clearly in Galatians chapter 3 that if we are Christ, we are Abraham's seed. We are heirs according to the same promise. So the covenant that God cut with Abraham, we are partakers of it through Christ. Because when God was promising Abraham that his seed, it was referring to Christ. And now if you are in Christ, you are blessed. With blessed Abraham. Say again, I'm blessed. I'm rich. I don't lack anything. I have everything by the grace of God. Amen. All right. So, we are standing in the grace, but look at how we access that grace. Verse 2, Romans chapter 5, by whom also we have access by faith. The word access there means the entrance or the way into something. So if you want to access grace, you need faith. Grace is there waiting for you to meet every need in your life, whether they are spiritual need or emotional or physical or material or financial or family, need of every kind in every area of your life. Grace is already available. But for you to get that grace, you need faith to draw the grace, and then you see the grace work for you in that area of your life. You see why many of us as Christians are the ones shortchanging ourselves. Because we don't have time for the word of God. We are too busy. We don't have time for the word. And if we don't have time for the word, how are we going to have faith to access grace? That means, well, we are forfeiting what God has done for us. We are trying to do our own works. And you know that no matter how hard we try, we always end up getting frustrated. Because none of us, in our human effort, can defeat the devil. The devil is very cunning and crafty. But when we hook up with what Jesus, who has already defeated the devil for us, when we hook up with what he has brought for us, which is called grace, then we suddenly realize the grace of God is sufficient for us in that area of need. That is the key. We need faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith there is not something we can come up with on our own. We have to get the faith from the word of God. It is the faith of God that will give us access to the grace of God that will bring sufficiency into our lives. If that faith is not of God, then you can't get the grace of God. We just read it. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. And how did Abraham get the faith? By what God said to him, so shall thy seed be. That's to be the word of God. Say to your neighbor, you must make time to study the Bible and meditate in it every day of your life. Don't wait to have the time. Make it. Amen. If you are waiting to have time, I guarantee you won't have. Because the devil will make sure you are busy so much you don't have time for the word. So you have to be the one making the time for yourself and say, well, I don't care. I'll make time maybe during my lunch break. Instead of using 1 hour to eat. Food for the stomach, you see, Bible says. And stomach for the food. But God will destroy both of them. Well, let me get wisdom now. Instead of sitting down in the canteen for 1 hour, just eating all manner of food. let me just take a little snack and spend half the time studying the Bible and praying. You begin to see the difference in your life. That's wisdom. Then when you get home, instead of spending 1 hour on the phone talking to friends, oh, hello, how are you? What? Well, 1 hour time is going. Just say hello. I have some things to do now. I'll talk to you later. Just take your Bible. You need wisdom, you see. Because if you don't begin to deliberately make time for the word, you won't have time. The devil will keep you busy. He will make friends to call you when you don't want to talk. He will make the phone to ring. He will do everything to get you busy so that you don't have time for the word. So you are the one that has to make wisdom and say, I have to study the Bible at all costs. And then you make the time. And then you begin to build your faith up. And then you can access more grace, more grace, more grace, more grace by faith. And then you begin to see the effect of the grace of God in all areas of your life. That is the key. That grace is sufficient for us. Now turn with me also quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It does not matter what your need may be. God has taken care of it. God has already taken care of it. I'm not saying God will take care of it. He has already done it. It's already stored up in grace for you. In Christ Jesus, it's you that need faith now to access that grace, you see. So you need to build yourself up in the faith at all times. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll begin to read from verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Look at that again. God is able, not man, not government, not family, but God himself has the ability to make all grace there means all manner of grace, all kinds of grace, all grace to abound. I love that word abound, plenty of it, not something that is scarce. But abundance of grace. Our God is El Shaddai. He always does for us more than enough. When God blesses you, he blesses you more than enough. He blessed Abraham more than enough. That was why Abraham was able to become a blessing. And when we talk about blessing, it covers all areas of life. Don't let's just talk about money like people of the world. You know, when they talk of blessing, they're always talking about money or material thing. And some of them are so foolish, you see. And my Bible tells me that the prosperity of fools will destroy them. That's why they are destroying themselves, even though they are rich in money. But they lack wisdom. But you, as a Christian, you have sufficiency in all things. First and foremost, in the wisdom of God. In the knowledge of God. So that when you have all those things and all the other things are added to you, those things will not become your downfall. seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Why? Because God knows you have need of all these things. God wants you to be the best in everything. If you are in any profession, God wants you to be the number one in that profession. So that everybody will be coming to you, even your colleagues will be coming to you for advice. That's what God has planned for us in Christ. But you see, it's only by grace we can get there. God has wisdom that surpasses anyone that anybody can have naturally. And if you access it by the grace of God, you'll be the best in your endeavor in life. So, God is able to make all grace to abound toward you. Bible says right there, so that, oh, praise God, I had turned to somewhere else. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's go back there. God is able, verse 8, to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, keyword always, not occasionally, always, always, in every situation, in every circumstance, in everything, you can stand right there in the middle of the trouble you have right now and say, I am sufficient in this situation by the grace of God. Because Bible says always, always. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Sufficiency in all things. You don't lack anything, in anything, in any area of life. Tell me which one of us can do that for ourselves. None of us. No matter how intelligent we think we are, we don't have knowledge of everything, do we? But when God comes on the scene, he can give you wisdom and knowledge, even in areas that you are not naturally skilled, whenever he decides to do so for his purpose for your life. Remember the building of the tabernacle? Remember what God said to Moses? He said, I, Jehovah, myself, I have anointed Bezalel. I have filled him with all manner of wisdom and knowledge and skill to make all manner of work for the tabernacle. Where did he get the wisdom to do all those things from? God gave it to him. Well, is that not the same Father you have today? He can give you wisdom to do things better than you thought you could ever do it. Just access his grace. Just access his grace. That's all. Just access the grace of God. So there is grace for all areas of our need. And all we have to do is access that grace. Now I want you to begin to reflect right now on what your needs are this morning. As you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Again, it's all by the grace of God. No matter what your need may be, Jesus has already made the provision for you in himself. When he brought grace down from heaven for us, according to the gospel in John chapter 1, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When Jesus brought grace, it brought sufficiency for you personally. Forget about the people seated on either side of you. I want you to focus on Jesus alone now. You know your need. Your need may be spiritual, it may be emotional, it may be physical, it may be material, it may be financial, it may be family need. It doesn't matter what the need may be. We just read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. God is able. He has the ability. With God all things are possible, you see. Don't limit God with your human understanding. Don't say, how can God do that? Maybe if God had done it some months ago, It would probably have worked. But now it's too late. It's too late. No, don't let the devil get you reasoning like that. Didn't Mary and Martha say the same thing to Jesus? Our brother Lazarus is dead. If you had come earlier, he would not have died. But now he's dead. 4 days. It's too late. Jesus said, too late. If you can believe, you see the glory of God. I am that I am. So when I show up in any situation, that situation becomes present tense now, not past tense. Even if that situation was dead, it will come back to life because I am the resurrection and the life. You see, we have to begin to think in agreement with God by reasoning on the basis of the word of God, not our human understanding, not what others are saying, not even how we feel. Whatsoever God said, that's what we must think upon. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 tells us those are the things we should be thinking upon. Don't think on the thoughts that are negative. Think on positive thoughts in line with the word of God. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are praiseworthy, think on those things. Why? Because that's the only way you can walk with God. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Bible says. You have to agree with God. That's what faith is all about. Faith is you agreeing with God's word and expecting God to perform it because He's faithful who has promised. And that hooks you up with grace to bring His word to pass for you in that situation. So, Hebrews chapter 4. Whatsoever your need may be, it's time to look to Jesus who brought you grace. He already made the provision for you because He knew you from the foundation of the world. He knew about your days. He knew about everything you will go through in your lifetime. And He already provided for you every single day in every situation. And He's inviting you, come unto me. When you labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Why? He already provided it for you in Himself. He is your rest. He is our Sabbath. He came to give us rest. We don't need to look to man. We look to Jesus. He's more than enough. He brought grace that is sufficient for us in all situations. That's why we are enriched in all things by His grace. Now let us read together from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16. Let's read it quietly and read it prayerfully. Read it focusing on Jesus. In a short while, you are going to be praying and asking Him for grace to meet the need that you have here this morning. But let us first of all read together in one accord from verse 14 to 16, Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's grace to help you in time of your need. And it's all because of Jesus. He's our great high priest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we are the sheep of your pasture. We come to you. We look to you. We look away from ourselves. We look away from any harm of the flesh. We look unto you. And we thank you for the grace that you have for each one of us here this morning. No matter what they need, maybe. No matter what they need, maybe. Now I want you to obey verse 16 and go to Jesus. Someone says, am I going to go to Jesus? I don't even see him. That's what Bible calls faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is simply acting on the word of God. So you simply say, well, God, you said I should come boldly unto you at the throne of grace because you are seated there together with Christ. So I come in the name of Jesus. That's what it's all about. Someone says, but I don't see anything. Well, you don't need to see because this is spiritual now. The blessings are in the spirit, you see. Ephesians 1:3, we read that earlier. You don't see in the spirit like you see in the physical with your naked eyes. But you can see in the spirit with the eyes of faith. Faith always sees in the spirit. That was why God was helping Abraham to see in the spirit by showing him physical evidence of the stars that are innumerable in heaven. So that he will begin to see in the spirit. Even though he didn't have a child in the physical at that point in time. So you simply say, Lord Jesus, I obey your word. I'm not worrying about my need. I'm not anxious about my circumstances. You said I should come with boldness to you. So I come in your name, Lord Jesus. I come in faith. And I ask you for your mercy upon me if I've sinned. Or if my foolishness has been the source of my problem. Have mercy on me, Lord. And now give me the grace to help me. So go ahead and do that. And do it with boldness. Do it with boldness. You are a child of God. That's why the Bible says come boldly. You are not a stranger. You know how children in the house will be bold to go everywhere in the house. Because they know it belongs to them. Because they are children of the parent that owned the place. So you go with faith and boldness. Boldness of faith, boldness of hope, confidence in your God and Father and your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because it is His pleasure to give you the kingdom. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. So talk to Him one-on-one. In a short while, I'm going to pray the prayer of agreement with every one of us. But you talk to him and say, Lord Jesus, I obey your word. I come to you. We have been looking to myself or looking to any other harm of flesh in the past. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Have mercy on me for missing the mark in the past. Now I see. I see that you are my sufficiency. I see that your grace is more than enough for me. I see that you are my all in all. And now I ask you for grace. Grace to meet every need in my life. You know how to do it. I may not know how. I may not know when. But I know you know how to do it. Because you already did it for me over 2,000 years ago. And by your grace, I possess it by faith right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So go ahead, talk to him. You know your need. Call them one by one. And access grace for each one of them. God has grace for each one of your need. Don't just put everything together. Call them one by one. Say, Lord, give me grace for this need. Give me grace for that need. Oh, give me grace for my healing in this sickness. Give me grace for wisdom in this situation that I don't know what to do. Give me grace for understanding where I lack understanding here. Give me grace for favor where I need favor. Perhaps you are in business, you need favor in certain quarters concerning your business. Just ask Jesus for grace to give you that favor. So when you go to those that you require favor from, they will not be able to resist you. Perhaps you are on your job, you are due for promotion, but your boss has been proving difficult. Well, you ask Jesus for grace. And the next time that boss sees you, he will look upon you with favor and say, well, we see that you are due for promotion, so we give you that promotion. Jesus is Lord overall. Perhaps you've been going for interviews, and everyone you've been going is like you've been frustrated. Well, you ask God for grace now that when you go for the next interview, you will have favor. And you'll get the best that is available for you. You see, that's how to do it. It's all in the name of Jesus. That name is above all name. When we go in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. No one will be able to resist the will of God for your life. When you access the grace of God through Christ Jesus. His name is above all names. We don't struggle in our human effort. We depend on Jesus. We depend on Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Katrodonos efremangele kata. Lekrodonos opitekela roti tikebodos. Shemaniga lakuke ki piesu veredahatu. Sinangle katu piesu, esirie done yesu, esalaki etane e golohobea, e gradonish kondo sohaha. Oh yes, this is what I have called you unto, as my people. To know my grace, to grow in my grace daily, and to enjoy the sufficiency that I have prepared for you. In myself, I came that you may have rest unto your souls. And now I am inviting you to begin to walk with me in this higher place of the grace that I have for you. Leave the lower life behind. For I came to gather a people unto myself by my grace that will walk in the best that my Father has prepared for them. As you walk in my grace, you will know my joy and your mouth will be filled with laughter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for grace. Thank you for grace. Lift your hands and thank Him for grace. Grace, 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 and grace, and grace, and grace, upon grace, and grace, and grace. No other testimony for us as Christians. We have what we have by the grace of God. Lord, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. They are your people, purchased by your precious blood, very dear to yourself. They have heard your message of grace. They have responded in faith, obeying your word, coming to you in prayer, asking for grace in their need. And now, Lord Jesus, I simply touch and agree with them. As you said in your word, if any two shall touch and agree together concerning anything that they shall ask of you, it shall be done of our Father in heaven. I thank you for the supply abundantly that you give to each one. to give testimonies for the praise and glory of your holy name to every one of us here this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for grace. Your grace that brings sufficiency.